Hello and welcome to A Fountain of Useless Information, a micro-podcast hosted by Anne O'Connor. Each 15-minute episode will feature a person, much like yourself, who knows something unusual, interesting, and maybe even zany that is near and dear to their heart. Welcome, Betsy Levinson. I had the honor of working with Betsy at the Concord Bridge, which is a new nonprofit newspaper dedicated to, I hate to use this word, hyperlocal news in Concord, Massachusetts, which of course is a fascinating place. And important things have been happening in Concord. The prison closed, the anniversary of our country is coming up, and there's a whole celebration going on with that. And everybody in the world knows Concord. And Betsy's been working in Concord News for a good long time. So welcome, Betsy. How long have you been doing this?
Hi, thank you. This is great. I'm really happy to be sitting down with you. I've been working in Concord for several decades in the news business and covering all kinds of local stuff. Local meetings, local people, interesting features. There are things, as you say, the prison closing. There's a lot of traffic. There's a lot of housing being built, which is causing some problems with developing it, covering local schools, covering the budgets, covering really local stuff like that, as well as features, which I think are the most interesting for a paper and a website. I think that gets to the richness and the diversity of the community. So I've spent my whole career in local, small-time newspapers and media.
You've seen a lot of changes in the way people get information and how they process it, including social media, and there's been a lot of changes in the news business since you've started, which is why having a local newspaper is a little bit different. It took a lot of effort to get that paper started.
Yes, it was almost 2 years ago, so it hasn't been that long, but it was a lot of work that had to be done, as you know, to get it off the ground. The thing that is kind of the matter with journalism as a whole, I think, is social media. I think the sites, the stories that are published are unverified, unconfirmed. All the things that we had to learn in school, in journalism school, to be accurate, to be fair, to be true. None of that seems to matter with a social media account where someone living around the corner can put something on a Facebook or a TikTok that has nothing to do with what the reality is. There's no fact-checking. There's no sourcing of material. So I think social media news makes the whole job a lot harder.
Right, because when you write a story, there's a lot of back knowledge that goes into that.
And there are laws. I know what I can't ask, what I can, where the lines are. And I had a whole course in the Supreme Court legislation governing libel, slander, things like that. So I'm aware of those, and those factor into my stories. But that doesn't really matter if somebody sees something or has an idea. If they see an accident, for example, they'll just put a picture and write something that may have no basis in what really happened.
Right.
And that makes our job a lot harder.
It does. Now, you're a very trained journalist.
Yes.
You went to BU?
I did. Grad school.
Grad school.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you learned all the proper ways of
doing things.
I did. Yeah. And it's
huge. It doesn't
huge.
Mean you can't be a good journalist unless you go to journalism school. But it kind of bothers me a lot when we're competing with publications on paper or the web that don't have people who know what they're doing and are pretty serious about it.
Yeah, one thing that really bothers me is the whole bias thing. People are going to believe what they want to believe. So I was talking with a friend not long ago, and I said, you know, I think that Kamala Harris would be a real good candidate in that she's articulate, she's energetic. This person said, what do you mean she's articulate? I said, well, I've heard her. Oh, no, she speaks in word salad all the time. And I said to myself, where did this idea come from? And went on social media, and there were a whole bunch of clips of her speaking in word salad.
They can edit that any way they want.
Absolutely. Yes, they can.
So it gets to the idea in my mind that we used to have a shared reality, and that's kind of the phrase I go back to. We agreed on, in a small town, or even as a country, we agreed on certain things were the way they were, and journalists reported on those, and we shared a certain reality, which is now not the case. And a citizen journalist, I think is an absurd name.
Well, yes, because even
we don't have citizen doctors.
No.
I mean, they have to have some training.
They do have to have some training. But I mean, even very good journalists are edited.
Right, exactly.
You know, somebody else looks at that to make sure that, yes, indeed, these are facts.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed, it's unbiased.
So I think social media was fine when it first came out. I liked it. It seemed fun. But it's really grown. And the editing and the fake, the bots and the... There's no thought for bias. It doesn't matter. Accuracy, it doesn't matter.
Yes, because how can you even know if what you're reading is true if you have no way of verifying it?
Right.
You know, hopefully, if you're reading a newspaper or, you know, even listening to television news or radio news, those are actual facts that are being given. But in journalists use social media also and sometimes to source their stories, especially if they need to get something out quick. But I think most are very careful to say, at this point, this is what we know.
And they make an effort to verify.
Yes, and that might not happen immediately.
No, it could be 15 minutes, but they make an effort to verify whatever it is.
Right, which is very, very important.
It is.
Yeah. Because one thing I see with this, once again, I hearken back to bias, but I was covering a school committee that was a little dysfunctional, and they hired a mediator person to come and work with them to learn how to be a better school committee. And I spoke to this person and asked him about it. And one thing he said stuck with me is that no matter what people are saying or doing in the meeting, chances are that they're all headed toward the same goal.
That's a really good point.
That's a really good point. And I don't know that we are anymore.
No, I don't think we are. There's so many sources of news, accurate or inaccurate. People don't believe any of the same themes that they used to. So you take an issue like taxes and you try and write a story about taxes going up 7%. Well, that's because, you know, and you source it and you be as accurate as you can and unbiased. But somebody else has a story that's on the same topic, completely different. They haven't sourced anything. They publish it as if it's the same thing. So it's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it is.
And it's harder.
Absolutely.
To compete with that.
Yeah.
You want people to read your stuff, but it's important to understand the organization that the journalist works for.
And right.
It's just a person walking down the street who may have a gripe against something. That's not very believable, in my view.
Correct.
They can certainly post it on social media. That doesn't make it news.
Right. So in a newspaper, which is mostly what you've worked in,
mm-hmm.
All print?
No.
No.
I was editor of Concord Patch for a while, which is only online.
Okay.
And in Littleton, we had to do the website as well as the paper. So I have no problem with website news sources?
No. I can't tell you how often I'm on my phone reading those four newspapers that I subscribe to every day. I mean,
exactly.
it's kind of an addiction at this point.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Too. It definitely is.
But you know when you go on your phone that you've picked a source that you trust.
Yes. You know, and at one point I was trying to read, everybody has a bias.
Right.
Every reporter has a bias, every journalist, every editor, no matter how hard you try not to.
I agree.
So I would try and read things from both more the left side and the right side and the center side. Mm-hmm. If center can be considered a side, mm-hmm. It can be interesting to see how things are regarded differently, mm-hmm. the same act as someone. And I think that we all get into our bubbles and we think everybody thinks like me.
Exactly.
But if people are not starting with the same facts.
Right, or they're distorted. There's very little trust anymore in, like we used to watch, my parents used to watch the three news stations. ABC, NBC, CBS. And they had Walter Cronkite. They had my mother loved Eric Severide, because they were trusted by most everybody. And now, of course, there's an explosion of news. Can't even be called news. It's kind of daily diaries.
In many ways it is, you know, because I think of, you know, when I was growing up and it was the Vietnam War, and what the news gatherers put out was just amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. And it really shaped our society.
Mm-hmm, it did.
But I think, and it's hard for me to know looking from here, that they were more or less unbiased. It was, hey, this is what I saw.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've been at this a while. I'm trusted. So people trusted them.
Right.
But now with social media, there's such a glut of information, lies become the news.
Right. I mean, before you came here, I was having a discussion with someone about a truly ugly Facebook page for one of the local cities. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I think every city and town has one of those. Yeah. It can get pretty darn unpleasant.
It can get unpleasant.
Yeah.
So how do you compete with that when you're the journalist who's in charge of trying to bring out information about the town or the city?
Exactly, because, you know, there's a lag. If we put out a story, it's not the same as, you know, announcing it from the parking lot as something is happening.
Exactly.
But I've always hoped that gives more time for reflection on the story before it's presented to be.
That's another problem, is there's no time for reflection, or the reader or the journalist.
You know, you think of the news magazines, mm-hmm. that Time, Newsweek,
yeah.
They were not reporting on anything that had just happened 15 minutes ago,
right.
But they had an overall arc that they could show.
No, it's all different.
It truly is. In Concord Bridge now, you've been writing for them, mm-hmm. for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. How does the community as a whole regard this local news gathering?
We've been lucky. When we started out, we had nothing. The board raised enough money to get us off the ground. So we started writing. There were three of us. You came in pretty quickly after we started. We've been very successful within the community. So I think we've built a reputation. We don't do editorials because we don't want, or advocacy journalism. But we've been pretty, I think we're successful. People seem to love the bridge in Concord, and that's all we report on. Yeah, it's been successful.
Good.
It's been a lot of work, but it's successful. Almost 2 years now.
Awesome. Well, Betsy, thank you so much for coming down and talking to us.
I love it. I love talking news.
Yeah.
And, keep reading.
Absolutely. Everybody read. Get your subscription. Support the papers.
Thank you.
Thank you. A Fountain of Useless Information is hosted, produced, and edited by Anne O'Connor. Do you have an idea for the podcast? You can reach Anne through her website, anneoc.com, anneoc.com, on Facebook at Our History AOC, or by calling or texting 978-958-0054. All music on the podcast is in the public domain or is written and performed by the host and guests of the podcast. A Fountain of Useless Information was recorded at the Fitchburg Access Television Studios in Fitchburg. They are on the web at fatv.org.